1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 55 and 22, says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you, or thee, or me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want us to read that again. Make it personal. Cast my burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain me. He shall never suffer me to be moved. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Give it to the Lord. Amen. Give it to the Lord. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Let us pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace, God. All that You do for us and in us, God. All that You have been, God. We pray that You would help us today, God, as we have had a wonderful presence, God, here this morning, a time of prayer and praise and worship, God. You've done a mighty thing in this house already, God, and we pray that Your will would be done this morning, God. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Casting all is everything. All is everyone. All is todo. Always. Daily. Careth is that the Lord is interested in you. He's concerned by what you're concerned with. He's concerned. It matters to Him. If it matters to you, matters to the Lord as long as it's in His will. One thing that I have learned, and this obviously is not a probably a new revelation for some, but one thing I have learned, and the more and more I would say older I would get, but is that not everybody cares about you like you think they do. They don't care about you like you thought they cared about you. I think we have all fallen on either side of the coin with that, but the Lord cares. The Lord sustains the righteous. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15 and 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Just think about that for a moment. He is very much aware about what is taking place, and He sees what is taking place. Beholding the evil and the good. He sees the evil and He sees the good. He sees the burdens and He sees the tears. If you've wondered sometimes if Pastor is really crazy, you're going to really believe it after I tell you. But there are times, Brother Carlos, that I have looked in the mirror literally and said, things are not as bad as they seem, and things, the evil is not as bad as it is. There is more good going on than there is bad. I've had to tell myself that, because it'd be real easy for any of us to get swallowed up by the nonsense, the distractions, the frustrations, the confusion, the paranoia, the evil, the sins that are in this world, and for those to become burdens that we were not intended or made to carry. Understand that. A burden is a difficult load. A burden is stressful. A burden is anxiety. It is that which is carried. It is which is born with difficulties. Many times we understand that those burdens start out mentally and they become the emotional distresses. I'm going to read to you what a commentator has shared, but it says, whatever, cast thy burden upon the Lord, whatever cares, whatever afflictions, trials, that they may be when thou art oppressed, lay them upon Him. I have learned that many times we bring trouble upon ourselves, but just like the gracious, selfish Father that He is, He bails us out any times, or He gives us at least the strength to continue on, regardless of whatever it is we are facing or dealing with, regardless if we brought that upon ourselves by our own foolishness. The God that we serve is just, and He's faithful, and He's loving, and He's righteous, and He will sustain His people.
Amen.
So give it to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we say it, and or all, or they, everybody. You know, we've talked about bring everybody here then. If it really is everybody, bring everybody here. Well, or it is overwhelming. Well, whatever the it is, put that in parentheses. Give, and then if it's a person, don't bring him up to the altar and say, Pastor, he's right here, like this. But whatever the it is, whatever the situation is, whatever that is, give it to the Lord. I have many times, many times have laid my cell phone before the Lord and say, Lord, this picture, this email, this text message, this situation, Lord, I'm giving it to you, God. My family, Lord, and it's not all bad, but I pray a covering over my family, and I got a picture on my phone of my family that I instantly, because folks, they like to talk about their families, and I have a picture of my family, say, here's my better half, and so I have that, and it is for me a reminder to pray and how blessed I am and how important those two ladies are in my life are, and if there's anything that I want to make sure I give it to the Lord, it's them, and say, Lord, I give them to you, God. I give, they're not a burden, but God, I don't want to be a burden to them, God, and I give them to you, Lord, and help me lead them. There's many times in our early years of our marriage, I've laid bills out before the Lord. I've laid job offers out before the Lord. Literally, I'd go down to the church and I would go with nobody was there, and I would lay a job offer before the Lord on the altar and say, Lord, I lay this before you, God. I lay this person before you, Lord. I lay this this decision before you, God. Here it is. We've got scripture for that. Hezekiah did that. He had a letter that literally came from the enemy, and he put that letter before the Lord and say, Lord, I lay this before you. And the Lord answered Hezekiah and gave him a word. Saints of God, we got to get back to the nitty-gritty of what it's like to have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord and say, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who brings tomorrow.
Amen.
There's something that we've been all reminded of again. A double dose of reality. When the scripture has been telling us all along, what do you know about tomorrow? What do you know about tomorrow? Or what is life but a vapor?
Yeah.
Scripture goes on to tell us that tomorrow has enough worries in itself. It's been telling us that. I was communicating with a friend this week. I've been on the calendar to preach for them in this church, and of course all of our schedules have been adjusted, postponed, moved forward, canceled, and we're talking about I'm still able to come, and I said, well, you know, it's on the calendar, and he made a comment that, well, we're not able to plan like we used to. I said, yeah, it seems like we can only plan in 2 to 4 week increments now. But the Bible's been telling us that all along.
Yeah.
it's just been a last 17 weeks of us, some of us, remembering that God is all sovereign.
Amen.
He does what He wants.
Yeah.
When He wants.
Yeah.
He uses who He wants to. He blesses who He blesses. But can I tell you that if you have a problem with that, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. That means that if you've got a care, a burden, you've got a adversity, questions, concerns, frustrations. His ears are open unto the prayers. Talk to Him about, give it to the Lord. He's able to sustain. Sustain means He's able to keep up or keep us going. To keep a person or the mind or the spirit from giving way as under trial or affliction. He's able to support, hold, and bear the weight. Think about that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon. And by His stripes, we are healed. There's something about the prayers of the saints. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we got time to whine and complain and gossip and criticize and say, if I was this and I was that, then we definitely got time to pray and to give it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Apostle Paul in our scripture text, the Apostle Peter in our scripture text this morning, he's writing. Scripture tells us that he's given us something so profound, casting our cares to the Lord, for He careth for us or our burdens. But he's writing to the Christians that were driven out of Jerusalem and that had scattered about throughout Asia Minor. In fact, the Jerusalem church at one point in time is the church we read about that was started in Acts chapter 2, in which James, the half-brother of Jesus, ultimately became the senior pastor of at some point in time. But that church, we knew it had exponential growth because it grew from 120 to thousands in just a short amount of time. And it was a powerful church. But it has been recorded and said that Jerusalem church, they had a, if you gathered all of the believers, all the apostolic Pentecostals together in the city of Jerusalem, there was 65 to 85,000 believers. There was not a facility that was big enough that could house that. And you just think about modern times, to what it takes, the logistics to get that many people to gather together and what that entails. But you look at the times of the first century church, and they were scattered abroad, just like the Bible said in Acts chapter 1. The scripture says that you shall receive power. And then it goes on to say, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But they were scattered abroad because of persecution and tribulation. And when you begin to break down what that means that they were under pressure. Yeah. There was pressure. Tribulation means pressure. The church was under pressure. And because of the pressure, the church scattered. The church multiplied. They went from being 65, 85,000 in one city to being into the uttermost parts of the earth. Saints of God, if there was ever a time for the people of God to understand that we are living in the last days, it is now. And we have got an opportune time. This is not a time for the church or for our community or for your homes to be divided and say, well, I'm for this and I'm for that and I'm against this and I'm against that. Saints of God, if there's, we ain't for against anybody but the devil. We're for everybody getting to heaven. If there's anybody you want to be against, it ought to be hell. It ought to be the devil. But anything else, you say, you know what? God's for them. He loves them. I may not like them, but there's got to be something in them that God loves. And I want to make sure I give them to the Lord. And they're giving me to the Lord. But it's okay because I want to hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. The apostle is writing, most likely from Rome. They were Christians were under the persecution of Nero. In fact, you may not know this, but the apostle Peter was crucified on a cross upside down. Let's think about that. The time of the writing of our scripture text was a very challenging and disturbing time for the people of God. There was stress. There was tension. There was evil and harsh words. There were ungodly lifestyles. The temptations to give in or to compromise or to give up was obviously a factor. In fact, right out of the gate, the Apostle Peter encourages us. 1 Peter 1 and 7, he says that the trial of your faith. There's going to be a trial of your faith. Maybe this is the beta test for the trial of our faith. Just think about that. Our scripture text this morning is so relevant to the season that we're living in right now. The pressures and the tension of this world is constant. The wiles of the enemy are deceptive. The discord, here, Pastor, the evil, the sin, the distractions, the torment, the unfaithfulness lurking around and tempting folks in the church and out of the church like never before. But the Apostle Peter has a very simple answer for all of us this morning when he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The cares of this world have always been around, and the cares of this world will always be around. There is nothing new under this. How bad do you think Sodom and Gomorrah was? Do you think it got a name of Sodom just because somebody just picked the name? We need a name for a city. It's called Sodom for a reason. It was evil. It was anti-Christ. It was abominable. What about the days of Noah? You think that we got it bad? How bad do you think it really was for the Lord to do what He did? In fact, Jesus tells us that in Me you may have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation.
Yeah.
Listen to Pastor. Just because you obey God, just because you live for God, just because you're filled with His Spirit, with the evidence of speaking another tongue, and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, that does not mean that you will be exempt from trials, tribulations, and the cares of this world attacking you. Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Tribulation is anguish, it's burdens, it's trouble, it's affliction, but it's pressure. I remember as a kid, I was younger than my daughter, but I remember my mother had this cooking, she had this deal called a pressure cooker. And I don't even know if they exist anymore. But one time I was playing and I was outside at the time, but this pressure cooker exploded and it went into the roof of the kitchen. Fire department showed up. Oh, cool. The fire department was at my house. And then I was informed of what took place, but because of the pressure, and that's what some of us and many of us in life we're dealing with. Pressure. There's so much pressure. Pressure to perform and pressure to please and pressure to give in and pressure to do more and to back up. And let me tell you that you will lose your mind if you haven't lost it already of trying to please people. You cannot please people. So you might as well please God. But the pressures, the anguish, sometimes it's the things and the places, difference of opinion. My goodness, the pressures today of different perspectives. I want to say something, especially now since we're on live webcast. But you can disagree with somebody and have a different perspective and still be friends. That's okay. well. Didn't get too many amens from that, but that is wisdom. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Commit your ways to the Lord, and it's going to be okay. Begin to trust in the Lord, it's going to be okay. You want to hold on to 100% of what He gives you, and you think that you can do more with the 100% than God can do with 90%. You're not committing your way to the Lord, and you're not trusting Him, and you're going to be cursed. God cannot go back on His word. He will make him a liar, and that is something God cannot do, is lie. But if you commit your ways unto the Lord, He will bless. He will take care of His people as long as you're abiding by the Scripture.
Right.
Devil's on your back. Yeah, he's on your back. A lot of times we give him more credit than he deserves. He gets blamed for more stuff that he doesn't even have anything to do with. But if the devil's on your back, there may be a good reason why he's on your back.
Yeah.
Hassling you, messing with you. Because he's trying to keep you constrained and distracted and isolated and on quarantine spiritually from the people of God and from the Lord Himself. That we were not meant to be quarantined or isolated or spiritually distant from the people of God, from the Word of God, or from God Himself. If there's anything we need, it's to have more church, more prayer, more singing, more revival than ever before. The methods may change. We may not all gather together in the building, but that does not mean we cannot have church where we are or pray and be united together. We see it over and over and over. In Acts chapter 2, prayer meetings and houses. Acts chapter 2 and 42, they went house to house, breaking bread. We baptized somebody this week in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. She has been and is watching our 11 o'clock service. She received her Bible study via Facebook Messenger, the video app. Yeah, technology can be useful and productive if used properly. But there's a lot of times we use technology to binge and to deal with stuff that's feeding the flesh and not feeding the spirit. Saints of God, it's time to give some of those things to the Lord. And that way we can commit our ways to Him fully. But if the devil's not messing with you, there's got to be a reason why too. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, we do not, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice this. Casting down imaginations. Times, many times, the biggest challenges we face is the stronghold of imagination. We can imagine all kinds of stuff. Right? Think about it. You're thinking about it right now, right? Thinking about, man, pastor's going to take everyone to Chick-fil-A after church. We're going to drive through the parking lot. But the psalmist is very clear about the righteous. Psalms 34 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's almost like you want to erase that, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, I didn't see that. No. I didn't see that. But you don't get the first part. You don't get the second part. But the Lord, deliver him out of them all. I may have a lot of affliction. But that's okay, because there's not an affliction that the Lord can't deliver me from. And I'm going to give it to the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But regardless of what we decide to bring to the Lord, Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that He cares for us. He cares for you. You know, a lot of folks don't care for you. But we spend a lot of time trying to gain their approval or affirmation. Wanting them to care for us. But they don't care for you. They may use what you got, but once it runs out, they're going to find someone else. None of us here are perfect. But we serve a perfect God. None of us have all the answers. But we serve a God that has all the answers.
Amen.
The cares of this world are certain. But so is the peace of God. So is the love of God. That's certain. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 29 and 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord, notice this, the Lord will bless His people with peace.
Amen.
The sins of this world are getting worse and more rampant. We don't even need to talk about that. It's done proving itself. The love of many are waxing cold.
Yep.
The trust level, it's at an all-time low. Even with us, right? Let's just be straight. We're skeptical about certain things. Civil unrest, the economic uncertainty. What about the emotional roller coasters from week to week? Folks paranoid. Fear has a grip on so many people in the church and out of the church.
Yeah.
Frustration and constant change. It's exponential. It is just like, whew. But the psalmist puts it in perspective. Notice this. Psalm 27 and 13. I had fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Ha! Wait on the Lord, it says.
Yeah.
Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It's time to give it to the Lord. You start paying attention to everything going on around you. You're hearing about it, whether it's fake or not. It'll drive you crazier than you already are. But the psalmist said, I would have fainted and had I believed to see, unless I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can I tell you, the revival tabernacle is in a great place spiritually, financially. It is in a great spot. But can I tell you, it is a building, but the people of God is what makes up Revival Tabernacle. And if there's anything we need to be encouraged and reminded about, that we got to give it all to the Lord. Whenever we start wanting to faint spiritually or physically and say, you know, Lord, I'm not going to live in that realm. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus. I rebuke that person in Jesus' name. Lord, I give it to you, every fear, every doubt, every financial adversity. I give it to you, Lord, because I know you care and you can do something about it. We measure sometimes the blessings of the Lord based off material things. And these can become a care if we're not careful. In fact, these can become levels of stress and anxiety because you don't have what someone else has. You're not able to do what others are able to do. Everything is changing. Everything is changing. It's okay. We're changing. Most of us are growing older each day. But a couple things haven't changed. God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. And the devil hasn't changed. Don't forget about that. The devil has not changed. God hasn't changed.
Right.
And God's word hasn't changed. So when you start finding yourself backing into that corner and starting to get into that victim mentality and woe is me and I can't and I'm not able to, you need to start getting back to the Word of God. You need to give your focus to prayer and fasting like never before. There are some things, saints of God, that we even together could never figure out, even if we had all the resources. take everything to the Lord in prayer. So many scriptures about prayer, and we can quote it, but are we doing that? Are we talking to the Lord? Are we praying? Are we giving it to Him every single day, every time? It says pray without ceasing. That means that you don't ever stop praying. Why? Since when has prayer become an option? It should just be the solution. And say, well, I guess we better pray about it. Well, we should have been praying about it all along. What are we going to do now? I guess we got to pray. That should have been the first thing we did. You're more blessed than you realized. We are more blessed than we realize. Proverb writer tells us, and I'm coming to a close, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. Job had the right attitude. Job 1:21 says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible has been telling us for years. Years. I've grown up in the church most of my life. Or been around the church most of my life. And I've heard for years, read the scripture, Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Regardless of how much sin, temptation, evil, fear, worry, distress, demonic attacks, wickedness, temptation there is, there's that much more grace.
Yeah.
There's that much more love.
Amen.
Forgiveness. Yeah. Nobody is ever too far gone. There are no throwaways unless somebody wants to make themselves a throwaway and turn their back on God. But there's always more grace. If you're here today and you haven't repented of your sins and you don't know the Lord and you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, can I tell you, that's the first step, is to repent. The next step is to be filled with the Spirit and to be baptized in Jesus' name, fully immersed in water. If you're here today and you haven't had a Bible study, you can ask anybody in this building, how can I get a Bible study? Or anybody that you saw up here on this stage that they're in a form of leadership. Just ask him, I want to get a Bible study. How can I get a Bible study? There's people in the congregation that are wearing badges that say usher and greeter. Ask them. Say, how can I get a Bible study? But all of us here today have things that we can give to the Lord if we want to.
Yep.
We stand this morning. The mercies of God and His forgiveness is available this morning.
Yes,
Lamentations tells us, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I want to get real with somebody this morning. The Lord knows about everything. Everything. Dios sabe todo. He knows everything about everybody.
Yeah.
Just give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
What is it that we want to try to hide from somebody that knows everything? He can do something about it for all of us. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. But notice this. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Reverence the Lord is what that means. Fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. Got good news today. Scripture tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Amen. Moses chose God's people over the pleasures of sin. Yep. Gideon chose God's people over the quiet, reserved life. Esther chose God's people over the palace. Nehemiah chose God's people over a career of comfort. But God always chooses His people. So why would we not give it to the Lord today, this morning? Why would we not give to Him what we've been carrying around? The hurts, the hang-ups, the habits, the frustrations, the fear, the doubts, the stumbling blocks. I don't want to embarrass anybody, Pastor. So, well, hey, you're not going to embarrass anybody. It's not anybody's business but you and the Lord. Just talk to Him about it. Every hand raised. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Ta 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 da 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 da.